It's now time for the halftime show on BlancoRadio.com. Here's Riley Chestnut and Adam Byerly.
Welcome back, everybody. As the nice voice doing the intro said, it's the halftime show. And we're out here at Panther Stadium watching the Blanco Panthers put up a great fight in the first half between them and the Johnson City Eagles. The score is knotted up at 7, which, if my memory serves correctly, last week the score was 12-7 in favor of Blanco. Unfortunately, they could not pull in the offense in the second half and gave up 14 in what was a final of 21-12 to Florence out there on the road. Blanco, of course, still winless on the road this season. Saving grace has been their home atmosphere, and the fans doing a fantastic job giving the refs a bit of an earful, probably not as much as we've seen in the last couple games. but there's
that one game. Actually, probably the loudest I've ever seen fans against the referees was early on in the year when we were at
Pearsall.
But it was the Pearsall
they
fans.
They had a legitimate reason. A lot of those calls, I don't mean to criticize, but being in the past now, some of those calls were a little iffy.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of those calls were very iffy.
But those Pearsall fans were giving it to those referees, though.
I mean, they booed them off the field when the game was over.
And
I've never seen that.
The people in the press box that were with us were also booing.
Yeah, but they were so nice to us, and it was a great environment, probably the friendliest road environment we've seen,
but
not for the officials. But hey, we chose a profession where you can be very well-liked, as opposed to the officials who the only time they're brought up in name is when they do something wrong, presumably, or definitely. And especially with the way that most leagues monitor officials now, it's really hard not to get scrutinized when you do make a mistake. Because again, you're the line. You're the law and order on the field. If you weren't there, these players would pretty much chop block each other if they could, if they got really heated. But hey, I'm sure these players have a good sense of how not to act because they're taught to be respectful. And sportsmanship is a huge thing in America and especially in football because they're already doing enough damage to each other physically. But hey, currently in this halftime show, if we got to pick an MVP, I think it's pretty obvious who we can pick. You go ahead, Adam.
Kate Phelps.
Yep. Bingo.
I didn't think it was a trick question.
No,
but
it ain't no trick at all. That was fantastic. And as we can see out there, Johnson City's band is being led by a football player, specifically the tight end, number 6, Marcus Storer.
Yeah, not just any football player, but a really good player for the Johnson City Eagles in Marcus Storer.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. He's tall, he's lanky, he's well-built, and now he's composing out there, getting this Eagles band in order. He's a real general out there, if you could say so. And, of course, early on, I've never seen a man with more animated hand motions, but hey, good on you, Marcus. As we now hit under 20 minutes left here before halftime, and we see the Blanco Panthers band over along the chain link fence getting ready to march onto the field whenever Johnson City will wrap up their halftime show. But from what we've seen in this game thus far, it's really not a lot of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sure, there are a few big runs in between, specifically for guys like Garrison Wood, Cade Phelps. Unfortunately, Phelps, if he had a touchdown, it would have been a 20-plus yarder that was taken back by the officials, but eventually things were corrected. The crowd was getting a little antsy, and they were worried that the Panthers would not come up with a score again on the second straight drive, but they do indeed. And so, as we now look out there, this 7-7 score certainly reflects how close these teams are to each other in terms of total stats. I mean, if you take a look at what has been the real difference and why this game is so close, though, Johnson City on deep balls from Brett Harris, his receivers, kind of let him down.
Yeah, the receivers have been open at times. They've had the good throws at times.
It's either been great coverage from guys like Fortner and Ostigan, who has been my defensive MVP for the Panthers in this first half for 2 pass deflections, both of them preventing touchdowns, one right in front of the goal line and the other preventing what would have been an easy run up the field with no one to stop him. But hey, that's just the way the game rolls. But sorry to cut you off, Adam. What were you saying?
What was I saying?
You were talking about how if we see here a Storer really gets into a knee bend out there, let's be careful out there on that high ledge. You don't want to bend off it and then be taken out of the game because you're injured composing the halftime show. But what we were saying is receivers like a...
The receiving core for Johnson City.
Like Heinen dropped a pretty big pass.
And he was open. It was a pretty good throw there by Brett Harris.
His hands were goalposts and the kick went through.
It's just one of those things where sometimes you're just not able to haul it in. Or it's kind of similar to fumbling the football too, which a play you obviously aren't intending to not make or make. But it just sometimes is a part of the game, part of football.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like there's a bit of luck on our side, like God is helping the Panthers out a little bit here tonight by making these plays that we've seen teams crush Blanco for giving up, not fall through, as now we start to get a look at the Blanco Panther band that is marching along the sideline, getting ready to cross over the 50. And, of course, we'll get to that show when they're about to get ready.
Yeah, we talk about luck, but it's also just been, and you mentioned it earlier, great defensive play by the secondary and the men up front for the Blanco Panthers defense to only limit this what's been a pretty impressive Johnson City Eagles offense on the season to only 7 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we take a look-see here, we talk about luck, and you and I have seen our fair share of high school football back in our days. What was the luckiest break you ever saw, or a game where you felt like teams that should have beaten your team just could not pull through execution-wise?
I'm laughing because there's actually a game, and I think you can look it up on YouTube.
Oh, boy.
But my high school didn't win. It was actually, I guess, unlucky.
And you went to Deer Park, right?
I went to Deer Park High School in Houston, south of Houston.
And we were talking about one of the kickers for your team now being in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a kicker for the Cleveland Browns, Zane Gonzalez.
That's tough. I bet he gets a lot of practice and a lot of time out there.
Yeah, I'm sure he just loves being in the NFL. But there was a high school game, either my junior or senior season, against Pasadena Memorial High School, where at the very end of a game, Deer Park had a wide-open tight end for what would have been the game-winning touchdown, and he just ran into the tight end he just ran into the referee as the play went dead, and Pasadena Memorial came out with the win.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we're getting to interact with one of our professors back at Texas State, a guy that we go to for advice on how to perform in the media industry with a lot of experience. So if you ever go to Texas State, be sure to look this man up if you're aspiring to be working in the sports media profession, Larry Carlson.
He's not just our professor, but he's one of our – he's probably our sports mentor.
Oh, yeah, he's a mentor. He's probably the best mentor we got, and we're very proud to have him. And he's out here tonight at the game enjoying the action, I hope. But as we can see here, now we can take a break and go out to the field as we get to entertain you with this halftime show and the Blanco Panthers High School band. So I'm going to shut up, put my mic out there. That way you get a perfect action. So let me just lower that. Thank you very much.
The Panther Band will also like to wish our friends from Johnson City the best of luck tomorrow at their area marching contest. The Panther Band is under the field direction of drum majors Mitchell Barnett and Clarissa Derby. The Panther drumline captain is Mario Sanchez. And the freshman of the week is Chloe Banda. Tonight, the Panther Band will showcase 2017 UIL competition show entitled Reborn, From Tragedy to Triumph. Tonight's performance will feature clarinet soloist Cami Marquez and flute soloist Madison Kimmel and tenor drum soloist Bruno Lopez. Blanco ISD proudly presents the 2017 Blanco Panther Marching Band.
Thank you. So they really want this guy.
Attention, all right. The Panther Band is directed by...
All right. That was the Blanco Panthers High School Band, which, like we said, moves on to area to compete for another week. And hey, while we got your time here to finish up this halftime show, because we still got a solid six before the second half will get started in this 7-7 ball game between Johnson City and Blanco. Again, I'm Riley Chestnut. This is Adam Byerly. And, of course, right now, Houston still leading out there in Game 3 of the World Series 4-1.
4-1. In the bottom of the third.
Oh, it's only the third. Good grief. Man, I don't like that. I honestly don't like that. That leaves too much time for me. But, hey, if they keep adding on runs, then the Astros will be just fine, which it seems like when they're at home is no problem. But as we see here, looking out at the other scores, the other two games going on here in Region 4, District 13, the scores read 8-7 in favor of Florence High School, which the Buffaloes are out on the road taking on Comfort, who will be traveling to Blanco this next week to take on the Panthers in the final home game of the 2017 season. And if the Panthers can pull off the win today, another must-win game for the Panthers to keep their playoff hopes alive. But, again, at halftime, the score is 8-7, so it's a high-scoring baseball game out there between Florence and Comfort right now. Whereas, look who's leading 34-7 with 3:54 to go.
Let me guess, Riley. It does start with an L and rhyme with Rexington.
Well, it starts with one L, and it looks like a pretty big L that Rogers is about to take. 34-7, Lexington, the number three team in ranking in the state in 3A. The Eagles beating the Rogers High School Eagles. Man, there are a lot of Eagles teams out here in this district.
There's a lot of Eagles teams in high schools in general. It's always Eagles, Mustangs.
I mean, I at least pride my team on being the Steel Knights. That's at least a little different. The only team the Blanco Panthers have played this year that were the Knights were Holy Cross.
My high school was the Deer Park Deer.
Oh, that's original.
It's like Deer Park, and we call ourselves the Fighting Deers.
You know what? What about, man, you could have gone with Bucks. That would have been so great. Like, keep on bucking.
Yeah, I would have. I kind of, everybody thought Bucks would sound better than Deer, but that's been the name for 75 plus years.
The Buck stops there, and the Buck ran out of luck, apparently. But hey, as we can see again, 3:54 to go in that Lexington game as they're out on the road taking on Rogers and leading 34-7. Well, what can you expect? This is Lexington's district to run, and they seem to be running it pretty well on their way to a 3-0 start that Johnson City is trying to duplicate out here against the Panthers, who are lining up in the tunnel, getting ready to get this action going. So, any last points you want to make, Adam, before this second half gets started?
We haven't seen Baylor Smith have to make a pass in the first half, and to be honest, that's probably what Blanco wants. They want to be able to run the ball effectively and be able to take time off the clock and score enough points and play good defense to win this football game. But in the fourth quarter, if they're losing, you're going to put yourself in situations where Baylor's going to have to come up and
be a superstar
and make some big plays. And so it should be very interesting to see how the freshman handles this situation with it being such a close game here at halftime as it's tied 7-7.
Well, right now the crowd doesn't care who's out there playing QB. This team is getting a jump and a good jolt 100% of the time. And they march out of the tunnel getting ready to rock and roll to the point. Now we have to lower them a little bit. Don't you just love when the crowd's so loud? You got to barely keep the mic down so that they don't break the barometers of this broadcast. But hey, we can take a break here with 2:50 to go in this halftime. And when we come back, the second half will be getting ready to get started out here in Blanco between the Panthers and the Eagles. So don't go anywhere. This is Blanco Panthers football with the second half ready to go in a 7-7 tie between them and Johnson City.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888. Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
Support comes from the Rainwater Revival plus Hill Country Living Festival, Saturday, November 4th at the Dripping Springs Ranch Park. Live music, wine tasting, food trailers, tiny homes, kids activities, and information about sustainable living. Details at rainwaterrevival.com. an event of the Hill Country Alliance.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
And by KNC Supply, selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information by phone at 830-833-1504. Kirk and everyone at KNC Supply wish all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And now the kickoff starts this second half off right as Fordner picks up, goes from the 10. He's going to cut right side, jump a man as he stiff arms out to the 30-yard line. And that is where Blanco is going to start this drive in this second half off of the return there by Tristan Fortner for about 20 yards with 11:52 to go. Hey, everybody, welcome to the second half. 7-7 score between Johnson City and the Blanco Panthers. I'm Riley Chestnut. This is Adam Byerly. Looking great. He's got his Fly the Pennant shirt on for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, normally I wear a polo and maybe some cargo shorts, but today I brought my jeans.
You usually wear your Blanco
jacket.
Usually wear your Blanco radio shirt because you're real loyal. You're the guy that gets us past the gate. As now under center Smith, showing edge blitz, is going to push it to the left side and set Hood up as he takes it, and a flag is thrown. He kind of got chopped down on the short carry there.
Let's see what the flag is on.
Yeah, there was no gain on the play anyway as it's second down and 10, and it looks like
it's against Blanco.
Yep.
It looks like.
So that's going to take a little bit away. On a no-game play there by Jet Hood.
Holding is the call.
Holding is the call. As, again, you saw on the right side, they were showing blitz, and maybe that's what caught Blanco to have to pile up to give Jet Hood time to run it, because we saw a couple times in the first half, Johnson City pounced on the run game, like literally off the handoff. They would charge back and send Jet Hood packing. But, hey, now all the way back on the 20, it is first and 20 here for Blanco. Snap under center. Rolling right, Smith with pressure is going to throw it, and it's tipped away. Defensive pressure up front there by 55, Cade Pittman, and then it's swatted down for extra effort by Colton Hurlbut, and that is going to be an incomplete pass to keep it second down and 20.
No one open there for the Blanco Panthers offense. Freshman quarterback Baylor Smith was just trying to make something out of nothing there, but it was deflected down for an incomplete pass.
Sprinkle a little pixie dust on that one and have a reset here as now. I'm happy to have you. We're happy to have you out here listening to us on the radio. Hoping to give you all a good time wherever you are to this display of defensive dominance between these two teams. 7-7 score as Smith rolls left. And that was a bad take. Somehow up the middle, actually, it's going to be Jet Hood chopping the distance in half and getting him all the way back to the 31. So make it third down and 9 coming up here as it looks like Baylor Smith lost a shoe giving that handoff away to Jet Hood.
He lost his shoe there, but putting it back on. At first, I thought he might.
He didn't lose his composure, though.
At first, I thought he might have, because he came up, I thought, kind of wobbling, and I was kind of concerned, but then it looked like he just lost his shoe there on that play.
And man, wouldn't that be a bugaboo? You know what? We should stop talking about it, because that could be really concerning. Hey, on the 31, it's third down and 9 with 11 minutes left here in the third quarter, a 7-7 game, and Blanco holding the ball here as Smith under center. Needs 9 yards. He's going to step back off the short throw, go right side, trying to connect with Van Dyke, and he comes up. Oh, he could not hold on. Van Dyke gets that one disrupted, trying to come down with a jump ball, and it looks like it was a good defensive play taken out of the hands by number 12, Logan Ledger.
And I heard one of the fans say it on the crowd mic, but Logan Ledger, number 12, Fort Johnson City, got his hands in there and broke it up at the last second on Van Dyke.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stinker right there, as it was a great throw to try and set up Van Dyke. Maybe if he puts it a little more in the air, Van Dyke would have a better chance to come down with it, but unfortunately, now it's going to be Rogers out there to punt for the first time. Man. Yep, they're going to go with their safe place, as now he's going to do a place kick, and obviously he's a place kicker, so he has to put that one off his hands out the field. And the return is going to be there for Ledger. Oh, that's a bad, bad tackle there. Obvious horse collar.
Obvious horse collar against Blanco.
Man, that's disappointing.
Which puts them at about their own 45-yard line.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That was a backbreaker right there. No one got hurt, thank goodness. But those kinds of carries and those kinds of hits, that
Face mask was the call, not horse collar.
Oh, okay. Well, still he got bent a different way. And so now with 10:36 to go here in the third quarter, the officials are out there measuring up where exactly to place this penalty. And it's going to be sticking all the way back in Blanco's territory, so a bad job there by the special teams trying to pull a face mask and see if the refs weren't going to be noticing. Obviously, the refs are going to be noticing. You don't do that kind of stuff. And now, on top of the 45-yard line in Blanco territory, Johnson City with Harris in the shotgun. He's got Wood as his back, takes the snap and hands off to Wood. He's going to go up the zero, get cut off by Jet Hood and barely carry it for about a yard. So second down and nine coming up here from the 44 for Johnson City.
Yeah, Johnson City just trying to keep it on the ground. Only was able to get a yard there on the carry. Let's see what they do now on second and nine here.
Ooh. What do you think they want to do? Do you think they want to give it to Wood again or go for a high pass over the middle?
I think they'll do a run to the outside here.
Seems about fair. As now you see Wood standing beside Harris, who stands in the shotgun with two receivers streaking over the left side, and it's going to be a shotgun stand hold run by Harris as he's chased by Lopez. Throws it a bullet on the run, and the catch is an incomplete pass. It was a great effort to dive for it by Mr. Wells De Leon, but he can't come up with it, and so third down and nine coming up here with 9:51 to go. 7-7 score between Johnson City and Blanco.
And I said it in the first half, Riley, but this Blanco defense has been so good on first and second down.
So let's see the third
Johnson
down.
City and putting the Johnson City team in those third and long situations all night long.
Because this is usually the point where Harris likes to fire a big pass play that ends up coming up with a high risk but a high reward to get them the first down and a whole lot of yardage. So now the Blanco Panthers fans know what's at stake here. 7-7 score, 9:51 left in the third quarter in the shotgun. Harris play action holding off. Alcala forcing him to throw it up the field right side. And it's a great job there cutting off the pass by Fortner. He did not touch De Leon, who would not have made the catch inbounds anyway. So fourth down and nine, and the punting teams are coming out here for Johnson City.
And Tristan Fortner been able to make some key defensive plays tonight. Maybe not ones that will show up on the stat sheet.
But big disruption plays.
But big plays that limit the receiver's availability to get open.
Man, dude, it's been great to see the secondary defense step up again after getting kind of torched in the second half last week by Giddens. Even when he was just on the run early on, it was him and Matthew Edgar tearing up on third down passes for Florence. But hey, they've answered the call.
And it looks like they're gonna.
Oh no! There's a punter out there.
There's a punter.
Yeah. And they just need to get a quick substitution out off the field as the officials blow their whistle and give them a quick chance to reset here. And as we can see, that's going to be a legal substitution against Johnson City. And that is going to put them back on the Blanco 49 now punting it away.
And they might have really preferred that penalty 5 yards just to give their kicker some more room.
Oh, yeah.
To punt the ball.
Maybe keep it inbounds, give Johnson City a chance to squat it inside the 10. But now back there waiting for it is Fiedler. He's going to boot this one, and man, he doesn't go very far. In fact, he flies it over the right side just across the 40.
So great field position for Blanco.
Oh, yeah.
On that first drive coming out of halftime, obviously they didn't start out the drive as they wanted, as it was first and 20 so early on in that drive. Let's see if they're able to get some positive yards here on first down.
I mean, on that kick there by Fiedler, he got a little too much heel in it, if you know what I mean, but
starting the ball here right at the 45-yard line.
Man, that was a kick that he wishes he could have back, because he had to kick that one from across the 45-yard line, so that's about 10 yards difference for those math majors we got listening in. As now Blanco from their own 45 has Smith under center, Wagner the far side receiver, but it's going to be a jet sweep handoff with a blocker in front for Treish. He follows Hood inside his block, and he gets him to the 44-yard line. Well done there by Jet Hood. Again, a good 10 yards on the carry. That's first down for Blanco.
And just as I said, they didn't want to lose yardage on first down. They gained some yardage on first down, and actually enough yardage to get another first down, as it is first and 10 now on the Johnson City 45-yard line.
It's so pretty. A nice flip on the reverse side from the 45 to Johnson City's 45 as 9:13 and counting to go in the third quarter. 7 score for both teams as now. What a handoff by Smith. He sent that one falling down, and Jet Hood carries it all the way to the 40, so another 5-yard gain there cuts the distance and makes it second down and five as Smith tripped, handing that one off to Jed Hood on the weak side.
Yeah, he tripped a couple times. Now that's two that I can remember.
Yeah, and that's two exactly right. So maybe having trouble getting off of the feet of Chance Horton, who's getting pushed back a little bit up the nose. But Baylor Smith, just give yourself a little bit of room, buddy.
Well, he's only been practicing with this team for now a week.
Yeah, 8 days if you want to count correct. But now it's going to be a counter run handoff going to Toby Treish. He's tackled down. Looks like the tackle was made by senior D lineman Anthony Medrano. But they get it for a 3-yard gain to make it now to the 37-yard line in Johnson City territory. It is third down and two coming up here for Blanco. And so 8-12 and counting to go here in the third quarter. 7-7 tie between the Panthers and the Eagles. Smith under center, now putting Fortner and Ostigan on the far side playing receiver. Puts him down. Hands off to Hood. He's going to cut left side. Room to run. He's got the first down, and it looks like he's going to get him all the way to what looks to be the 20-yard line. Nice carry there.
And there's Jet Hood with the jet train, able to run the ball, able to get some positive yardage. Not really good positive yardage for Blanco. And Jet Hood, before the game, is a player that I said would be crucial for this Blanco Panthers offense, and here he is.
He seems to be sinking himself into the jet stream, if you will, as look, there's a kid out there in the Blanco section of seats. He's running around playing ref. He's got a mini flag and everything. And now on a handoff up the middle, it's going to be stuffed back there as they try to go to Hood again, but he is stopped for a pretty noticeable loss, maybe not a huge one compared to what was taken after the play was over by Colton Hurlbut and number 55, Cade Pittman. They both get on Jet Hood and take him back here.
They're going to call it
Okay, he did gain some yards on the play. Second down and seven. Okay, I need to pay. I was looking another way. I'm going to stick to where I serve best. So, second down and seven on the 17 here for Blanco. Tie game, 7-7, under 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. And it's going to be a handoff. Trying to cut outside, it's blocked off, and Hood is forced to go nowhere but up the middle into a blockade of Eagles waiting to stomp him out, including the first man on top of him, Anthony Medrano, again. And, well, doesn't really gain much. In fact, anything at all. It's third down and seven, still on the 17 with 6:35 to go here in the third quarter. Blanco needs to come up with something, but the bright side is this seems like if they can't get a play here, as long as they don't lose yards, Zach Rogers could have a chance to redeem himself.
Yeah, and let's see. But they don't really want to give it necessarily to Zach Rogers. They want to get a touchdown.
Oh,
here.
I believe it.
So
who doesn't?
What they do here on third and seven.
It's now on the near side playing a far wide receiver, Ostigan, and look at that. I saw a jump there. Three flags are thrown, and I thought I saw a jump over on the D-line first, but maybe it was because Blanco pulled the trigger early.
Yeah, let's see what they call here.
So let's see. It was over on the weak side that the movement was made, and it's a false start against Blanco as the left guard and the left tackle both give him an early jump. Chael Knoll, unfortunately, probably sold a little too much there, and so some slight movement cuts it back now, and it's third down and 12 for Blanco.
And that takes 5 yards away from a possible field goal opportunity for Blanco. So let's see
if this pass can cut the distance.
Yeah, if this pass can at least get some more positive
or
yardage.
Run, they could do either. Yeah. Jet Hood, other than these last two plays, has been really, really excellent.
Or even Tristan Fortner.
Jet Sweep. Yeah, you're right. Cade Phelps, even. Anybody. But hey, 5:53 and counting to go in the third quarter. 7-7 tie. Blanco on the 22 and third and 12.
And they
Fortner.
Have Jet Hood out.
And I saw early motion on the D line, but it's not called. And Smith has the pass tipped for an interception. Oh, man. The thing that was. The worst thing that could happen there. Baylor Smith gets his pass tipped on early obstruction. I swore I saw an offsides on the defense.
And that's what the Blanco coaches are saying as they have their hands.
Oh, come
out.
On.
And now we see a fan's hands go up as they saw that defense jump for Johnson City.
They did call a fumble on Fortner earlier, so maybe a little bit of convincing, and they might reverse another call that could really save Blanco's skin.
These refs don't really look like they're talking.
Oh, nope. They look like they're more definite on what happened, and that was a tipped pick right into the hands of Anthony Medrano. Actually, no. Number 50, not number 60. Patrick Fruin was the one that got the pick off of Baylor Smith. That's now the freshman's second. Of course, his first pass as a varsity quarterback was a pick last week against Florence, and now he gets this one tipped for an interception away. And first and 10 on the 19 for Johnson City in this 7-7 tie. And it's going to be a toss up front. De Leon taking it up the right side. He gets chopped early and then gets hit after the play. Refs don't see anything, so no flag is going to be thrown, thank goodness. But still a good gear, still a good carry, as now we see timeout. Maybe. Injury timeout, actually. Looks like someone, no one down on the field, thank goodness, but someone is a little limpy, apparently. I don't know who, but hey, it's second down and six here on the 23-yard line for Johnson City. What's going on? Tuck and roll, say the fans, including this one in front of us. So Mr. Cox is not the only rowdy one. But hey, hand off up the middle, and Wood gets chopped down. No gain on the play, maybe even a yard loss. Makes it third down and six, so no gain with 4:50 and counting to go here in the third quarter in a 7-7 tie. Defense holding up their end of the bargain.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere out here. We were able to go down for a quick break at halftime. The Blanco fans have filled up this place, and so have the Johnson City fans.
Yeah,
on the away side,
they've even put posters up on that side. That's the first time I've seen any visitors come here repping and trying to intimidate, including one that says "Here, Kitty, Kitty." But now third and six. Harris in the gun, thrown in the pocket, and that pass is incomplete. It would have been a little short, and it would have required a great dive in front by Ledger, but the pass is broken up as Ostigan. Again.
And the Johnson City Eagles just got the ball, and just like that, they're punting it because the Blanco Panthers defense is playing lights out there for Blanco.
So really it's the offense, whichever team can come up with a better drive first, could really be the difference with the way this game's going. Not like past weeks where Blanco's defense sometimes gets gassed out, and then we see the spread kind of separate in favor of teams like Florence last week. They seem to be coming out with a lot more fire, and now on a fourth down waiting for this punt, trying to redeem himself after he muffed it for only 10 yards. Now puts this one up in the air a pretty good distance, and it's going to be a sliding catch by Ostigan on top of what looks to be the 47 or 48-yard line. Let's see where he puts it down. It's the 48. And so Ostigan diving to make that catch on the return puts Blanco on their 48, ready to start this drive and maybe ready to redeem for that interception.
Yeah, Blanco likes the way or the field position that they've been able to start these drives here in the second half there. The last drive starting about their own 45-yard line, now starting at their own 48-yard line, able to get the ball near midfield to start out these drives is what they like.
And Flores playing the near side receiver halfway the distance. This is a jet sweep to Tree. She's got good room to run, and he is trucked out of it there by Ledger on the low sweep, and we see flags thrown for probable hits after the play was finished against Johnson City. Man, you got to keep yourself under control there in that situation if you're Johnson City.
Yeah, that's what the call is, and that's what we believe it is. That is something that the coaches at Johnson City would like them to clean up.
Mm-hmm. As now you see Sebastian Flores getting taken over the sideline, having a few words of encouragement or criticism, constructively, of course, from head coach Bill Tesh. But great job there. On the short run by Toby Tree, she takes a low trucking from Logan Ledger and then a few hits afterwards. Signal, bad play conduct by Johnson City. And move it a first down all the way up to the Johnson City 32 for the Panthers.
And in a game this close, penalties and turnovers is probably what's going to be the difference. Mm-hmm. So costly penalty there for Johnson City.
And thus far, two penalties that I can officially count for the Blanco Panthers. It's going to be a handoff and a run up the middle. Man, I would just love to see Baylor Smith get a chance to maybe to have an option keep or a fake, a quarterback sneak around the side, because he's basically going alone untouched after handing it off. It would really catch Johnson City off guard, but it's second and seven coming up here.
Let's see, Riley, if you remote it, if you maybe.
Oh, I really hope so, man. He's doing a great job, by the way. I love listening to Tony explain what football is because it makes me feel smarter about what's happening. But, hey, second and eight from the 30. 3:21 to go here in the third quarter. Under center, Smith is going to throw a short pass to Fortner, and he's got a block outside from Brent Wagner, maybe holding against him as Fortner did get the first down all the way up to the 20, but
that one might be coming back. But I love that play call, just a short pass play, getting some confidence in the freshman in Baylor Smith.
Because earlier he miffed Fortner on that same pass towards the right side. And, yep, it's going to be a holding call against him. And Brant Wagner coming out of the game over to the sideline, rips off his protectors and is miffed for letting Matt Call get away and making the bad choice.
And if you tuned in mid-game to us, I just want to remind you that senior quarterback Kelby Cox did get injured last week against Florence, and he is out tonight. So it is freshman Baylor Smith at the helms for Blanco Panthers.
Now, Kelby is expected to be back next week when they host Comfort, as now it's going to be a jet sweep up the middle for Fortner, and he's getting a pile pushing, trying to get the second and 15 a little bit more time. And it looks like they do gain a good amount, maybe get it to second down and 12 or third down and 12, as 2:44 and ticking to go here as they get back to the 35-yard line. So, yeah, Fortner gaining 3 yards on the play, trying to cut back up the middle, and the gap was closed off by every single Johnson City D lineman. But, hey, now on the 35, in the huddle, Blanco trying to get this play off. It's now on the 35 and third down, a long ways to go for Blanco to keep this drive alive, as Smith under center has a little bit of a spread, is going to keep it rolling right. Gets a block, throws a perfect pitch to Daniels, and he can't come up with the catch. It was right in his hands, but he could not come up with it. So that's going to be fourth down and 13 and a probable punt coming up here for Blanco.
Yeah, and I saw Tristan Fortner was pretty wide open there in midfield, but the freshman quarterback just didn't see him wide open. So now it is fourth and 13.
I mean, they got to give the kid a break. It's only the second game of his career, and he's seeing this kind of competition for the first time. I'm sure he's still nervous. So give Baylor a little bit of time. I'm sure the more time he gets out there to watch this team in action, as now they're going to go for it, actually. No punt.
But there will be a timeout.
Yep, they want to get this play right. So Bill Tesh takes a timeout for Blanco. In this 7-7 ball game, we've got 2:10 to go here in the third quarter, and the tension is palpable. But don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of you listening out there, because we love you, and we're happy to have you listening here to Blanco Panthers football on 88.9 Johnson City and 106.9 Fredericksburg, along with streaming live at BlancoRadio.com and on the Sun Radio Sports app. We'll be right back after this short break.
And by Clay Pack Greenhouses, deep-rooted in Blanco athletics. Everyone at Clay Pack Greenhouses wishes all the best to the Panthers on a great season. Support for tonight's Blanco Panther football broadcast comes from Peterson Tire, the Hill Country's authorized Yokohama dealer, offering Yokohama tires including Geolander AT Geo15 and HT Geo56, Avid lines and performance tires like Advance Sports AS and S-Drive, locations in Blanco and in Johnson City along Highway 281. Available by phone at 830-833-1004 in Blanco and 830-868-2004 in Johnson City. Daniel and everyone at Peterson Tire wish all the best to the Panthers in a great 2017 season. Go Panthers!
And welcome you back out here. Wet my whistle with a nice drink of water, keeping myself calm and clear. Riley Chestnut, Adam Byerly, as it's fourth down and 13 here for Blanco after the timeout, trying to get this one in a 7-7 tie with 2:10 to go. As Matthew Alcala and Tristan Lopez calling for the crowd to get up and get loud. And now it's going to be no handoff and a spin by Smith. He misses the sack, throws it, and the pass is batted up in the air and drops down incomplete. So good defense closing in. It was a scissor kick or a scissor cut up there on that pass thrown by Baylor Smith. But, hey, the positive was Baylor Smith made a man miss.
He made a man miss, and that ball was kind of deflected up in the air. It looked like a Blanco Panther.
Could have made a play, but unfortunately, like a Julian Edelman-type situation, if you remember that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was only the biggest catch I've ever seen.
Well,
no big deal.
That one or the Giants one.
It was 10 years coming for the Patriots. They had that happen to them, and they get that one back. But, hey, unfortunately, the pass, as we know, is incomplete, and so it'll be a fresh start here for Johnson City on the drive. First and 10 from the 35 in their territory as Treish playing far side, watching as the handoff is going to go up the middle to Bridges Price, not Garrison Wood. Doesn't look like he gained much, maybe a yard or two on the play. Probably a yard, makes it second down and 9 here from the 37, so do my math right, second down and 8.
Yeah, and Johnson City hasn't been able to get anything going running the football.
Or passing, really, either. But that's kind of been, they've been shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, passing, it's been about 50% on the Blanco secondary for just being shut down. And then sometimes the receivers are open.
But they can't make the catch.
They can't make the catch.
So now, in the shotgun, Harris takes the snap. He's going to give it a jump to Price, who sweeps to the right side. Had a great momentum run. just short of the first down before he's taken out of it by Toby Treese, Tristan Fortner, and Peyton Van Dyke covering. But it's third down and two here from the 43-yard line in Blanco territory for Johnson City's offense as they're trying to take it up the field and break what has been a standstill 7-7 ball game between these two teams. By far the most competitive I have seen of this Blanco team since the Antonian prep game. And even against Pearsall, this is exciting. But now, Treese showing blitz is backing off as Harris is taking his time. 5 seconds. Needs the play call quick. He's trying to make the adjustment. 1 second to go. And the officials show that Johnson City saves the day by calling a timeout to prevent another delay of game against Johnson City. And with that, we have time for another break here. So don't go anywhere, though. It's 40 seconds left in the third quarter, and the score is dead even at 7, with 3rd and 2 coming up here for Johnson City on the 43. This is Blanco Panthers football out here at Panther Stadium.
Support comes from RE/MAX Genesis owners Jane and Waymond Lightfoot, selling farms, ranches, land, and homes throughout the Hill Country, including the communities of Blanco, Bulverde, and Spring Branch. Jane Waymond and everyone at RE/MAX wish the Panthers a great season.
And by Lone Star Capital Bank, offering construction loans, home mortgages, and banking options for your personal or business needs. Online at lscb.com and by phone at 830-833-4587. Branch manager Ernesto Bustamante and everyone at Lone Star Capital Bank wishes the Panthers the very best this season. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And welcome you all, everybody, with 40 seconds left here. Johnson City on the 43 with a third down and two to convert here against Blanco's defense as Treese showing blitz on the left side as Harris is going to take it himself. And it looks like he does get the first down, but officials were blowing their top before the play even enveloped, and it looks like a false start with De Leon holding his hands up in front of the left side official. That takes some air out of that first down conversion by Brett Harris on the quarterback keep.
Yeah, what a great play. There by the Panthers, and now it's already putting this team in a position.
Now have to make the throw, no doubt, for Brett Harris, but it's third down and 7, and he's made far bigger throws. But the way Blanco's secondary has been playing, when they know that the Eagles want to pass it and might have no choice, the way the ground game is going anywhere up the middle.
But here on third and 7, if they're able to get the stop and give their offense the ball back in, it'll be their defense playing a lights out here in the third quarter.
They got De Leon over there on the far side, covered by Ostigan. Harris, shoulder turn. He's going to be looking to go to De Leon up the field, and he has that one deflected away by Ostigan. Nicely done. He jumps right on top of him at the perfect time and makes it fourth down.
And this Blanco secondary making plays all over the field tonight and really making it a hard day for Brett Harris and these receivers.
Man, Ostigan's been the secondary superstar tonight, getting his hand, or at least getting in the grill of every receiver on every down route. It's been fantastic.
I think his third quarter is challenging our MVP of the game so far, which was Kate Phelps in the first half.
Makes me happy for the fact that he's only a junior, so you get another year of this from Ostigan, who is coming up with great D for the win, trying to break it here with 29 seconds left in the third quarter. It's going to be a punt up in the air there by Fiedler and a deep one waiting. Van Dyke absorbs it, and he gets hogtied up there by Price. He jumped on top of him, and there's no flag. My goodness.
Yeah, and the fans want it here in Blanco.
That's ridiculous, honestly. I mean, maybe I'm not seeing it right. Maybe he technically did legally like dogpile on top of Van Dyke after he came in crouching to make that catch. Price jumped all over him like the price was right.
It might be a legal hit out in high school, but maybe not in college or NFL.
No.
Where they'll say a legal use or a legal...
See, if you do that to a guy like Sebastian Flores, who's only 5 feet 5 inches, you could kill him. But hey, 22 seconds left in the third quarter, 7-7 tie, and it's a jet sweep right side cutting in. Fortner with a great jump. Takes that one. Doesn't get it ripped out there by Fiedler, and he's tackled down on top of it by De Leon.
Fortner on the carry.
Cuts the carry up here from what was a start.
Brings up a second about.
From the 21. Or not. As now the third quarter clock sounds, and we are going into the final quarter here as the ball is down on the 33, and that's where Blanco will start here on second down coming up in this fourth quarter. With a 7-7 tie, this game still very much in the grab for either team, and Blanco trying to be the first one to pounce. But don't go anywhere. The fourth quarter's coming up, and this 7-7 deadlock between Johnson City and the Blanco Panthers with Adam Byerly and Riley Chestnut. This is Blanco Panthers football out here on Sun Radio, getting ready to bring you this fourth quarter finale.
Support for Panther football comes from Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858. And by Old 300 Barbecue. Open 7 days a week on the square in Blanco. Large and small catering available. More information at 833-1227 or online at old300bbq.com. On behalf of Old 300 Barbecue, here's to a great 2017 Panther football season.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome you back out here with the fourth quarter getting ready to get started. It's a 7-7 ball game with Blanco. A second and four coming up now. From the right side on the 33-yard line, as Smith lined up under center, he's got four men in his backfield, all spreading around in a Pentagon-style formation. This is going to be a jet sweep carry by Fortner. He's going downhill for a lot of time. And as we can see here, he does get the first down here for Blanco. Great carry there. Up to the 38-yard line, the 5-yard gain is good enough, and Fortner, strong and fast, going downhill to the weak side, having to dodge a few men on the way.
We haven't seen a whole lot of Fortner on offense, and I think that's something that in this fourth quarter I would like to see more of for the Blanco Panthers offense, as he has been an impact player all season for their offense, along with, of course, senior quarterback Kelby Cox.
And now under center, Smith squatting ready with three men in the backfield. He's going to give it off to Hood, who goes up the middle, gets a great block from Will Adams, and he's going across into Johnson City territory all the way to the 45. That's a first down, obviously.
And that jet stream keeps on going down the field as Jed Hood was able just to find it and was able to find the open gap and able to run the ball across midfield for the Panthers.
I haven't heard a jet stream like that since audio recordings of Sandy Koufax's fastball flying past people. And, of course, speaking of the Dodgers, they're probably still down to Houston right now, but we'll get that score back to you as now. First and 10 from the Johnson City 45 for Blanco. Hood behind, putting Fortner in early motion from the wing back, and it's a carry for Walton Daves as the ball's popped out, but Phipps, right there at the right time, takes a yard off the initial carry by Walton Daves. But, man, you got to give credit to Daves. You can't be too mad at him. He's playing with a cast on. Still ripped out of his hands, though. Great job of Phipps right there to make the completion, or at least save the play, and still gains 4 yards. So still second down and six.
Second and six for the Panthers, putting this offense in a position to get some more yardage to make it a third and short or a first down.
Now you just know, maybe give Daves a little bit more time before that cast comes off, as now under center, second down and six from the 41-yard line. Under center, Smith, hand off to Hood. He goes up the middle and gets trudged back by a combined effort led by number 50, Patrick Fruin. The junior D lineman playing nose tackle in that situation. And it's barely going to gain a yard, third down and five to the 40.
And, Riley, this is an obvious huge down here on third and five here. If they're able to convert it and able to keep this drive going and move the ball and keep this clock ticking, or if they stall out and have or force either punt or go for it on fourth
down. Go for it. I say go for it. Why not? As even though Rogers is over on the sideline getting his legs warmed up just in case, doesn't really fit the play calling, as now it's a jet sweep to Fortner. He gets a push block from Hood, goes outside, and he jumps, and he has, let's see, it's going to be close. He got to the 35 maybe before he was trucked out of the sideline, and it looks like the underside official is going to call it a yard short, so fourth down and one, and Mr. Cox is furious.
So are some of the other Panther fans here.
Maybe a bit of a chop block on that, but technically I think Fortner was still in bounds.
But what a great run by Tristan Fortner, because he was so close to losing his footing and falling down, but able to keep up on the field and able to get close to that first down to where it's just a fourth and one now.
And
for
now,
the Panthers.
Yeah, fourth down and one. The left side is loaded on the defense, and Smith is going to push on the keep, and he is going to get that first down. You bet your bottom dollar. 2 yard gain to the 39. Yeah, I can say bottom dollar, can I? And actually to the 34, I got to get my eyes checked. But hey, all that matters, it is first down for Blanco on the quarterback keep right up the middle by Baylor Smith.
Riley, I would give you my glasses, but my glasses
you need those more than
are way too strong, because I'm way too blind without my glasses.
Well, I'm going to let you keep them, because that would hinder your job ability, as now it's going to be a run up the middle by Jed Hood. He just kept carrying on top of his back Cade Pittman all the way inside the 30, gets him to the 30-yard line, and I don't know what these people are getting so mad about. I mean, it's a good carry, and there's not really much to it. Just be happy the fact that cuts the distance down a little bit, makes it 5-yard gain. Second down and 6 here off the carry by Jed Hood, and we're to the 30 here for Blanco, who's getting closer and closer to maybe getting the lead again, or for the first time, actually. Handoff on the sweep there by Daves. He's got a great room to run from Jet Hood's block up front. And he doesn't drop it that time. He gets him inside the red zone on that first down carry. What a man by Walton Daves on that single-man split.
Yeah, that was a great play by Walton Daves, getting the ball to the 17-yard line, putting this Panther offense in the red zone. Let's see what the Panther offense can do now close to the end zone.
And now they put Daves out on the sideline after getting the good carry to him, get him all the way to the 18-yard line. 8:26 and counting to go in the fourth in the game. 7-7 tie under center Smith. Handoff is jumped. Hood is held back. And a good stop there by Mr. De Leon keeps it to a short gain. About a yard. Makes it second down and 9 on the carry there by Jet Hood, as he just got handled up there by De Leon, and he did not let go for dear life.
Here on second and 9, I might think about going in the air here.
Maybe.
It's kind of surprising, this Johnson City defense.
Show a screen pass there to Fortner. He can get a leg up, as now going here from the 17-yard line. 7:48 and ticking to go in the game. And Smith going to keep it through the left side and split two defenders. Stay jumping. He got him to the 10. Nice. Play action keep. I love it. I love it.
And there it is, Riley, the play that you wanted.
I wanted it so bad. And I'm glad to see Baylor get it as he split two defenders. I'm sorry I keep cutting you off. I'm just so excited. Gets him.
Yeah, they trusted Baylor with that option play, and he kept it and got the ball down now.
To the 10.
To the 10-yard line, so it's 3rd and 2 for the Panthers.
With 7:18 to go in the game and a 7-7 tie, let's see what happens here. All right, let's hear it. The crowd wants it. Under center, Brad Baylor handing off to Hood. He gets a man jumping, gets pushed, gets inside the 5 with a little bit of help. So now it is 1st and goal at the 4-yard line in a 7-7 tie. Blanco is on the verge of cutting this one loose.
And these players, these coaches, and these fans, they want it, as it is getting loud here.
Do you see me, man? I'm jumping.
Riley wants it to, and I want it to.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Let's see what they do here on 1st and goal from the 6.
Coming from the 6 with my woes. Hey. Yeah, I quoted Drake there. Don't look at me like that. Under center. Baylor lining him up. Puts Fortner in motion. It's a carry for Hood, and he breaks in wide open. Touchdown for the Blanco Panthers. Yeah, baby. Give it to Hood and watch him go under. 6-yard carry for the end zone, and it's a 13-7 lead for Blanco.
Riley, do you hear that? I hear a jet engine.
Oh!
As it is the jet and Jet Hood, as he just broke the plane, and the plane went to the end zone, as it is a touchdown for the Panthers, and the Panther Nation is happy that they...
I am too, man. This is great.
...have their team on the board and the lead.
Man, and now Rodgers lining up for the PAT. Ah, the whistle stops it, and Rodgers was about mid-stroke. He looked like a ballerina pose out there before the whistle stopped him short. So now 6:37 to go in the game. And it looks like it'll be a penalty against the kicking team. So this PAT is going to come with a little extra distance for Zach Rodgers. Still pretty manageable.
And like we said before the game, this team knows how big this game is according to their playoff hopes.
It's playoff or bust now.
It's playoff or bust now for the rest of the season for
the
Panthers.
To get to 500 and to get to 3-2. And yeah, false start there against the kicking team is going to put him back. And now measuring it up. The kick will be trying to come out of Rodgers from the 15-yard line. So 6:37 to go, 13-7, and Rodgers' kick. Where'd it go? No good off the left side. Rodgers blows the PAT. But what happened? They say no good. What? I never saw the thing go.
It's the Panthers.
Maybe it's just because it's dark over there, but man, that's kind of a stinker.
Yeah, I'm kind of...
Now it's a little worrying because if... With 6:37 to go in the game, Johnson City just needs to get a kick, a touchdown, and then the PAT, and that could be the difference. It could be like Pearsall.
Yeah, but this Blanco defense has been playing lights out all game. There's no reason to believe that there won't be lights out here against Johnson City. Let's see if this defensive front can do what they've done all game, and that is get pressure and play great man-to-man coverage.
And yeah, but one note I'm going to definitely have after this game is they better be working hard on special teams next week, because I saw a couple errors that could be corrected. Now, as we see here, still Blanco does take the lead, so that's the good news. But they do need to play really good defense now to keep a touchdown off the board. That could give Johnson City the lead back, as PATs could prove to be the difference here. But still, 13-7 Blanco with just under 7 minutes left in this ball game. It's going to be no holds barred to the very end. This defense needs to make the big stop now. And with pressure finally lining up against them to come and perform, let's see if that leads to a bit of a tightening up for this Blanco Panthers defense. As now Rogers breaking the huddle, measuring this one back, he will kick it from the 40-yard line. As in the backfield, you see guys like Bridges Price, number 22, Mr. Ethan Heinen. As Rogers' kick is going to go flying towards the upper middle in the hash mark, and it's cradled in and taken off by Bridges. He gets held down by Tristan Lopez with a little extra and gets him to the 29-yard line, where Johnson City is going to start this drive looking to take the lead, or at least, or at the very least, get a tie in this 13-7 Blanco game.
Yeah, this game is 13-7 with just over 6 minutes to go at 6:31.
Ooh.
But another score update, the Astros were able just to add another run, so it's 5-1
in the bottom of the fifth. All right.
So the Astros trying to take a 2-1 series lead against the Dodgers in the
World Series. And with two more home games coming up, that could really spell a good tie to clinch the world, the championship, really. But hey, now in the gun, it's a high snap, and Harris is going to pitch it up the middle. It was a soft pitch there to Chris Cloninger Jr., whose father is the head coach for Johnson City, Chris Cloninger Sr. And, well, if you're looking at the list here, Jr. has held his own. That's the first time he's gotten anything tonight, as now it is going to be second down and five here for Johnson City at the 34-yard line, back in their territory. Cloninger is a senior, so it's not like he's just a pick for his father, like Austin Rivers, per se, for Doc in L.A. But now, snap, Harris, handoff up the middle, takes a turn up the right side, and Wood, great jump, clears a man free, and he's going up the field. Fortner giving chase to the 10 and to the touchdown. Oh, man. That is going to sting him all the way from the their own 34-yard line. They get a full 66-yard touchdown run out of Garrison Wood.
And this Blanco Panther defense has been able to contain
Wood.
Man,
that stings.
And the Johnson City Eagle offense all game. Wood was just able to find the gap and broke a tackle, and he was free. He was free, 66 yards.
Van Dyke couldn't clear him as he was the last line of defense. And then Fortner, you can't keep up with that kid up the field, apparently. He's big, but he brings a lot in terms of down the field speed.
The only good news for Blanco is it didn't take much time off the clock, because there's still
it was a quick one.
5:43 to go.
But man, you remember the Jacoby Cooper run back for Lexington that really broke it here, as the kick is good for the PAT, and Johnson City takes the lead 14-13. Where have we seen this before, Adam?
We saw it earlier this season against Pearsall.
Yep,
on the road, but.
A well-orchestrated drive that leaves little time left on the clock could be the final difference here. So,
but there's still over 5 minutes to go in this game. There's still plenty of hope for this Blanco team, especially the way they've been able to move the ball. I know they only have 13 points on the board, but they've been able to run the ball on the Johnson City defense. So let's see if they can get one last good drive here and put on some points up on the board and come out with the W here in Blanco.
Man, what a teammate there. Kelby Cox getting Baylor Smith warm over on the sideline, because he knows that this is the biggest drive of the game. It could be the final tally. Depending on how well it goes for Blanco, it could mean the game either in a win column and a chance to continue their hope for playoff glory, or they lose the game and the playoff hope is over and they're just playing two more games. But still, it's going to be a big time here to see how can this Blanco team with a freshman quarterback find the resolve, find the attitude that they need, and make the right plays to give them a chance. As now measuring up the kick, there's a big guy lining it up out there. That is number 77, Mr. Hunter Barrientes, and he boots it up the field to be picked up by Flores. He's going to go to the left side, get trucked out of there, push a man off him, and get to the 42. Sebastian got trucked last week on a return, and now he serves a little bit on the other way.
Oh, what a nice play by Sebastian Flores.
Get that off him.
To be able
to make something really that looked like it was going to be out of nothing, and really it looked like he was about to get tackled hard and able to
get that corn out of my face.
Oh, nice Nacho Libre. Nacho Libre. By Riley.
He is Nacho, and he is serving up some serious there, baby. Now to the 42, like I said, is where they marked it after Flores got to the outside over near the Blanco bench. 5:36 to go in a 14-13 game. Johnson City in the lead. And now under center, it's a jet sweep cut back for Fortner. He got a little bit of ricochet action trying to get it for about 2 yards up the play. Helping their man up. Number 55, Cade Pittman, gets a little help up, and he's walking off just fine. Maybe came in a little crush there, but clocked Fortner on the right shoulder pretty well to get him knocked off balance and serve it for only a 2 yard gain. Actually, 3 yard gain. Second down at 7, and the clock is still ticking on the 45 in Blanco turf. See Heinen move over to the right side as it's going to be a carry for Hood up the middle. He's pushing. Stopped there by Medrano, but he still gains him to the 50 or the 49.
About third and four, maybe?
Third and three.
Third and three.
Yeah, yeah.
For Blanco, this is a situation that they would are okay being in. This is definitely a situation where you can still run for the first down.
Yeah, the clock is managing just fine.
But let's see who gets the carry here. Maybe is it Jet Hood, or is it Fortner, or is it maybe a Baylor Smith?
Is it them, or is it everyone else? As now it's going to be Treish up the middle with a jump. He's got the first down, and he gets him to the 42.
And what a nice run there by Treish.
That was pretty.
On that third down.
That was dynamic.
Able to go up the middle and able to find just enough space to get it the first down.
Man, he was smooth on that one, getting him to the 43. But, hey, first and 10 in Johnson City territory, and the clock's still ticking to 4:15 left. Blanco wants to time this up perfectly where there's hardly any time left. So this could be a well-orchestrated drive in the midst with two receivers lined up on the near side. Handoff up the middle for Hood. He blocks through his man, spins, gets him across the 35 to the 34, and is maybe just short of the first down, still makes it second down and one.
And there it is, the jet plane.
Jet stream going in for landing. He got the last touchdown for Blanco. Could they keep him going here again? 3:43 and counting left in the game. 14-13 Johnson City, but Blanco marching up the field now, trying to keep it to where they can go for the win. He's now under center. It's a handoff to Daves. He cuts back up the middle. Kind of got squat-legged to the point that he was floating a bit in the air with his defender carrying him up. Good tackle there by Wythe Leisman, the first time I've said his name, the linebacker. And still, first down for Blanco.
And it's a Blanco first down.
At the 30.
At the 30-yard line. So they're in a position now where they can just really run and just...
3:15 to go.
Obviously try to get a touchdown, but if not...
Oh, yeah, they need...
Needing some more yards probably for a field goal.
As now, jet sweep left side. Hood going slants towards the sideline. He got taken out before he could get to the sideline. Stop the clock by Preston Fiedler. But he does get them across to the 23-yard line. So things are moving along nicely on the 7-yard gain. Second down and three.
It's second down and three. The clock keeps on ticking. And right now, this Blanco Panthers offense has got to be thinking, let's just get another first down. Let's run this clock some more.
And let's win it.
And let's win this game.
2:40 and counting to go in the game. 14-13 Johnson City under center Smith. Going to be a handoff to Hood, but that time he gets blockaded back. Barely gains anything on the play, maybe nothing at all.
So that creates a humongous third down here.
1 yard.
For the Blanco Panthers.
And the clock obviously still ticking on the run play as it is third down and two on the 22-yard line here for Blanco. And they now I'm starting to feel a little pressed. They better hurry because they still got 22 yards to get, and these yards have not been easy. But now under center Smith with the crowd behind him. Going to keep it. No, it's a handoff to Hood, and he's pushing for the first down, and he gets him all the way to the 16-yard line.
And what a great job by Jed Hood there, making the first man miss and able to get
the clock stop there on the first down.
And able to get the clock stop and able to get the first down. More importantly for the Panthers.
And now a timeout is called between the sides. Stoppage of play on the field. It'll be going against Johnson City is what they're going to do with a minute and 56 seconds left in this game. Blanco in the red zone on the 16 trying to take home the victory and keep their run to the playoffs alive. But don't go anywhere. It's just getting exciting. This is Blanco Panthers football out here on Sun Radio in a 14-13 game. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888. Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
Okay, we're standing up now, as are everybody in this stadium. First and 10. 16-yard line. It's going to be a carry by Fortner, and he gets trucked away. Gains a positive 2 on the play, though. And look at this. A flag is thrown. And it's going against Johnson City for a little bit too much roughing on the aftermath of that play. Maybe a little too much trash talk and sportsmanlike conduct. I'm not sure. But, hey, it gives Blanco a chance here to stop the clock at minute 46 and maybe cut the distance down. And, yep, it's against Johnson City. What a big penalty, giving Blanco a chance here, even closer to taking back this lead and maybe the win.
And, obviously, they still want the touchdown, but now that puts them in really good
chance.
Good chance just to get the field goal, too, to get a made field goal.
Oh, man. The bigger the lead, though, the more comfortable I'm going to feel, as on the 7-yard line, Blanco just that much closer to taking the lead and probably taking the game. A minute 40 under center. Oh, the ball is dropped. It's jumped on by Baylor Smith. I think he just saved it. Oh, please. Please, please, please. Let's see. Who's it on? Oh, nothing signaling Johnson City. Blanco. Baylor Smith. A bad snap. And it's still going to be Blanco Panthers ball back on the 8-yard line. My goodness, that was scary.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
a bad end to a game if they were to lose a fumble here.
Yeah, thank goodness. But now, under center, second down and 8. Second down and goal. And it's another bad snap. My goodness.
Yeah, they might just kind of nail it here, take some more time off the clock, and then go kick a field goal.
But why do they have to mess with my heart right now? I mean, my goodness, they're terrifying me. As now it is third down and goal, still on the 8-yard line. Another bad snap, but I mean, the special teams have been kind of iffy here for Blanco tonight with the missed PAT.
But you need to trust your kicker.
I know.
To make this easy.
Yeah. Rogers, this would be by far the biggest moment he has had on the season. Is now Smith under center trying to keep it clean. It's going to be a handoff. Jet sweep, and Fortner juggles it, gets it, running, he is in, he's in, oh, he's got the touchdown, Blanco takes the lead, oh, my goodness.
And Riley, we will not need to know if they can make the field goal.
They don't need it.
They got the touchdown, and Panther Nation is on their feet. They
19-14.
And they are proud
with
here.
With 30 seconds left, that is probably going to seal it, barring any huge return. And any quick throw down the field by Harris, we know he's capable, but the receivers were iffy in that first half, and that really puts pressure on the ground game to make up with very little time left. 30 seconds to go, and they're going to go for two. They don't want to play it safe. They want to play to keep it there as Smith rolls right, throws it short. It's a catch, and it's Dave's breaking in. They got the two, and they got the full touchdown lead. 21-14 Blanco with 30 seconds to go, and the entire team coming out of the huddle, they are jumping for joy. And so am I, ladies and gentlemen.
And what a great game here by Blanco, as they were kind of let down last week against Florence.
Oh, yeah.
A team that many felt like Blanco should have beaten here, playing a good team in Johnson City.
And look at that. The fans are shaking hands with each other. They know this game is a probable chance to be over here, barring any touchdown by Johnson City. They're going to try and keep it that way. And if Johnson City were, by some incredible luck, to get a touchdown with under 30 seconds to go and opt to go for two for the win, it'd be a risky call, but what would you have to lose?
That's always a situation, but they might just kick their point and send it to overtime.
Yeah. But here we go. Out there, ready to come in and play. Rogers going to put that one, the place kicker down, the place holder down on the 40, and get this one ready. A 21-14 lead, and the Blanco fans are jumping for joy as Fortner delivering on the jet sweep. He juggled it initially, too. That was scary.
Signed, sealed, delivered. Fortner came through.
Ooh-wee. Ain't you right, partner. But now it's Rogers measuring this one back at the 30. 30 seconds to go. 21-14 Blanco. And Rogers, a powerful kick in the air. Backing up. Price can't pick it up. He's having to juggle it from the two, and he's going to go. Come up the field, making men miss. And he is finally taken down short of the 20 with a hard shoulder-to-shoulder takeout.
And maybe, Riley, the biggest part of that play was it took 9 seconds off the clock. So now only 21 seconds for the Johnson City Eagles to work with.
Inside their red zone. Not a lot of time to try and make a miracle like Aaron Rodgers, per se. But, hey, we know the difference. A field goal ain't going to do it. A touchdown is the only thing that can save this game for Johnson City and keep them perfect in district play, or at least have a chance. As Blanco, that much closer to picking up their first district win over Johnson City and keeping the tide from 12-0 over Johnson City last year out there on the road to a 21-14 hopeful final out here in Blanco. But here we go. From the 20-yard line, Johnson City trying to make a miracle. Shotgun snap. Lopez charging the right side, and it's a toss short side that is going to be taken out of accordance. No gain. Second down and 10. And it is 11 seconds left in the game. And, well, I feel pretty comfortable in saying that this probably is not going to pan out.
Yeah, this game, unless there's a miracle throw by Brett.
I mean, these 3A quarterbacks, that would be the farthest throw probably of any 3A team in the country. Because
it'd have to be a
it's a full 80 yards.
It'd have to be a play where
the receiver has to be open.
The receiver open and have a few feet on the.
Now, we've seen that happen before.
Defender.
We've seen that happen before. Of course, the first time we saw it, Heinen blew it by holding his hands up like goalposts and laying the what would have been a wide open touchdown pass sail wide of him. And the way Ostigan is playing, wherever whatever receiver they're going to target, Ostigan is going to be on top of it. But look at that. Oh, man. Blanco is getting this crowd pumped. They want to seal the deal and put the dagger through here on Johnson City and break their perfect record and put them down to 2-1 while improving to 1-2. Let's see. The snap is high. Harris gets it. He's running away from Lopez right side, getting chased. Him and Granberg giving it, and now it's going to be a catch over on the sideline. Pushed out of bounds by Jed Hood. Let's see. Incomplete pass.
Incomplete pass.
Incomplete pass and only 2 seconds left. I feel safe in calling it. I feel safe in saying this game is probably over.
It's probably over, but there's still 2 seconds
Never say
on the
never.
Clock.
Yeah, you're right. Never say never. But this is probably going to be the last play unless they spike it to give themselves a chance to make a miracle happen all the way back on their 15-yard line. No way. I'm probably getting cocky right now, but from what I've seen, no way. But here we go. Final stand coming up here. It's 3rd and 15. This one for the first district win for Blanco. They got their first district win over last year against Johnson City in what was a 12-0 score. Now looking to have a repeat of fate, much like the Randolph game where they got their first win over the Rohawks. As now the wind is picking up, you feel like the jet stream is pulling us in, literally. I'm enraptured. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, the wind's picking up here.
Blankets out in front.
Pretty quiet earlier in the game.
Yeah.
But now the wind's picking up here. I'm making it hard for Brett Harris to throw the football.
So Harris throwing it. No time left. This is going to be for all the money to Smore. He is trucked under by Daves. Incomplete, and that's the ball game. Blanco pulls off the victory, 21-14.
And the playoff hopes
baby.
Live. The playoff hopes live. They're still.
They ain't done yet.
There's still a chance for them to make the playoffs. So
the Panthers ain't done yet.
So they're not busting tonight.
No. Home is where the heart is. And right now, Blanco, all their heart here in Panther Stadium, not giving up anything. It is fantastic to see. As you see, people hugging each other out there. They're so happy. Because this team is going to live to fight with purpose for another week. And that means Kelby Cox comes back with a team with a game to play for next week. And that warms my heart, Adam.
Yeah, and it's a game against comfort, a game that they should be favored.
Shouldn't it be comfortable?
Should be favored to win. So it really, if they win next week, that'll set up that ultimate.
Certainly pretty comforting.
That'll set up that ultimate game.
I got to stop with the puns.
That also that ultimate game
against Rodgers
to make the playoffs against Rodgers, just a lot like last year.
I mean, I'm just joking with you right now, but If they're making us drive all the way out to Rogers and they need that game to win, they better give us a win. They better give us something to drive out there for and to give these fans to listen to. But you know what? I'm going to take that back and say, you know what? This team is fighting with heart, with passion, with fire to the very end, and it's making me feel fantastic right now to call this one a final of 21-14 for Blanco. They improved to 3-5 on the year, keep their hopes of going to the playoffs here in District 13 alive, and, well, 1-2 in District now, and Johnson City no longer perfect, so Lexington will probably go up to 3-0. We'll check that final score, but from the way it looked, Lexington is now the only undefeated team left in District at 3-0 probably, and Johnson City falls to 2-1 and 5-2 on the year. Second loss only. And it feels pretty good to say that Blanco, without their senior quarterback, with a freshman out there who really didn't have to do much. The running backs carried the game, and it was fantastic to see them fight with all their heart.
Yeah, it was a great performance. This performance showed gut from this Panther team, able to get the win behind the freshman quarterback. This running back core just able to relieve pressure off of Baylor Smith and able to get the W for the Blanco Panthers.
And as you can see, the student section and the fans are storming the field, giving hugs out there. Man, I see Bill Tesh getting a lot of love from all the fans out here, and probably the most meaningful win he's had this season as a head coach. Welcome to the big time moment there, Bill Tesh. Happy for you. Just wish I could have gotten time to – I can't wait to interview him next week. I can't wait to see how these players are going to react having Kelby back for the final home game of the year and what is probably going to be Senior Friday night. It's going to feel good. But, hey, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be right back with a quick post-game show because, honestly, what else can we say? It's 21-14 Blanco. They live to fight another day and another week and another Friday night for a chance at the playoffs. Don't go anywhere. Riley Chestnut and Adam Byerly will be right back with your post-game show as you're listening to Blanco Panthers football, 21-14 the final for Blanco out here at home.
Support comes from the Rainwater Revival plus Hill Country Living Festival, Saturday, November 4th at the Dripping Springs Ranch Park. Live music, wine tasting, food trailers, tiny homes, kids activities, and information about sustainable living. Details at rainwaterrevival.com. An event of the Hill Country Alliance.
It's now time for the post-game show on BlancoRadio.com. Here's Riley Chestnut and Adam Byerly.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to keep this post-game show quick and abbreviated because, well, everything we said was best said when the game was going on, and by golly, this was the best game I have seen them put together. Absolutely fantastic from the very end of it all. I'm just going to quiet that down. They're moving a few things up there on top of the press box, but Adam, what a game.
Yeah, what a game. It was so encouraging to see like we said, like plays by these players on both offense and defense, whether it be Kate Phillips on offense and on defense or Jed Hood being able to run the football.
In the second half, he was huge. And Fortner, too. They both came together very well, taking the pressure off Cade Phillips for all he did early as now. Man, I can see Mr. Cox marching out on the field. Maybe he's going to take it a little bit easier on his son's teammates, because I'm pretty sure the way he reacts as a fan, maybe hard grills him after a loss. Or maybe not. We're just going to wait and see. Either way, he's a great fan, great supporter, giving him his heart out there, just like what the players gave back to the fans tonight. They played their hearts out. And, well, if you had to pick an MVP for the whole game, who would you pick?
I think you have to pick Jed Hood.
Jed Hood. Seems right. The jet stream.
Just getting the touchdown there at the end of the game, getting into this running game and getting it going. He hasn't been a big part of this offense the last few games. It's encouraging to see him back and him making big plays for the Blanco Panthers.
It was magnificent. You're absolutely right. Again, the first go-ahead with the 7-7 tie, Jed Hood runs it right out the middle, and then the big one, the money ball, with 30 seconds left. Fortner, jet sweep, initially gets it, juggles it a bit, and kind of gives me a mini heart attack because the two previous plays saw Baylor Smith get a bad snap and have to jump on the ball to save a turnover that really could have given the fans another reason to think, man, this Blanco team is having trouble executing down the stretch, and there's still some things to consider. Special teams needs to get better. The kicking, especially, needs to find a center ground with the weeks coming ahead because we know it, next week, final home game, Senior Friday night, it's going to be Blanco hosting Comfort, and then the final game of the year will be going to Rogers, where the Panthers lost to Rogers High School a year ago, looking to redeem themselves for that and get their first road win of the season in the final game for them, possibly, because it's no option. If they lose that game, they're not going to the playoffs.
They have to win out.
They have to win on the road.
And they have two games that they it's not out of the question. It's not like they're ending the year with Lexington.
No, no.
So they're able.
And even against Lexington, they were really, really good.
Yeah, they played really great against
the
Lexington.
The best front from any district opponent for Lexington this year.
And so they should be encouraged with the running game. They should be encouraged to get Kelby Cox back. And they should be encouraged to go out there and play confident and pick up two wins and get this team into the playoffs.
Now, what we did see tonight, if we're going to wrap this thing up, because I think we're saying all we need to say, as the 21-14 score reflects how hard this team fought Blanco, coming up with a victory over Johnson City in a must-win situation. I mean, we spent the whole about 3 hours before going around town, talking with people, and they understood the situation. It was do or die. This team needs to win from here on out the final two games of the year to have a chance to go to the playoffs, even as a low seed, which 3-2 is still the mark, and it's still the possibility now after this win. I think it's a better chance.
Yeah, I think this team in this town just want to get back in the playoffs after missing last season.
Yeah. What was a rough last season with a 3-7 record, the roughest in the head coaching tenure, I think, of Danny Rogers before he announced his resignation and let Bill Tesh take over this program. And, well, I'm so happy for head coach Bill Tesh to get his first big moment. Obviously, the first win against Randolph was special. The fight against Lexington was fantastic. But tonight, everything down the stretch finally paid off, even with a close call at the end. I feel happy to say that Blanco, they earned this win. And they have set themselves up for two big weeks ahead against Comfort, as you're going to want to tune in next Friday, October. No, it's going to be November.
It's going to be November.
Because Halloween is Tuesday,
it'll be November
1st, 2nd, 3rd. Okay, November 3rd at 7:10 with pregame, when the Panthers will be hosting Comfort in the final home game of the year, trying to keep their playoff or bust hopes alive. Hear all the action, of course, right here on Blanco Radio, along with our stations off of 88.9 Johnson City and Blowout KTSN, along with K295CK Luckenbach-Fredericksburg, which broadcasts off 106.9 FM, and always streaming at BlancoRadio.com and on the Sun Radio app, part of the Sun Radio Sports Network. That's going to wrap things up here. If you would like to receive a copy of tonight's game, be sure to call our office at 512-965-9969. Thank you to all the supporters who allow us to play their ads on air and give their support to this team in the midst of what could be a very special ending to this season or a really tough one to take. But, hey, Blanco lives to fight another week, and they'll get their starter at Kelby Cox back next week. So, I'm Riley Chestnut. This is Adam Byerly. And, well, quick update. What's Houston doing out there in Minute Maid?
They're up 5-3 in the bottom of the sixth of Game 3.
So, for those of you that are about to tune into that game, enjoy it, because it's going to be one heck of an atmosphere, just like it was out here tonight in Blanco. Final score from Panther Stadium, Blanco 21, Johnson City 14, and the Panthers live to fight another week. Good night, everybody, and have a blessed week ahead.
Thanks for listening to Panther Football on 88.9 FM in Johnson City, 106.9 FM in Fredericksburg, streaming online at BlancoRadio.com, and on the Sun Radio app. This has been a presentation of the Sun Radio Sports Network.